Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Hartley. A sports Scales of Truth for you. Semi-game two reaction for the NBA Finals. Semi-game three look ahead. Really just kind of things that I've seen that are at the top of my head. Again, I am not your sports guy. I'm not Nick Wright. But I do try to pay attention in some ways and try to make opinions and analysis off of that. So game two, man, boy, so much rode on that possibility of a comeback. The entire series changes as far as possibility and probability if the Spurs simply hold on and complete that comeback, right? Had a chance. Brunson misses one of two free throws and the Spurs have time. And, you know, even the last play encapsulates a lot of just the issues. And I'm not broken record. We're going to say this in a different way in different things. But the Spurs offense, I've talked about Victor, but the Spurs offense itself is just very immature. I dare you to name a time where you've seen this many different guards and wings being able to get into the teeth of the defense. I mean, there's a lot, like, especially for this day and age, really get into the teeth of the defense. The Spurs can really, really do it well, right? Fox a little bit, Harper a lot, Castle a lot. Just guys who are fearless going in there. But I want you to think of a visual and remember who you are and where you come from. Whoa, bro. Now just remember what you've seen in basketball games and think of, I want you to see if you can kind of think of what's missing from this scenario. Get into the heart of the defense, but not quite able to finish. Two to three defenders around within 5 or 6 feet of the basket, but on the ground, standing there. They're not jumping anymore. What happens there with the Spurs? Okay. I want you to think about that. Now, what happens with that deep post penetration for a lot of teams? And I'm going to bring up specifically Nikola. And I'm going to bring up another hint for you, Aaron Gordon. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about post-to-post, paint-to-paint type of passes where you get stuck, but then immediately somebody absolutely crashes, not for the boards, but to the paint area. And then they're available for a small dump-off pass, and you've got guys because you're an athletic Stephon Castle sitting there, holding some defenders' attention. Somebody else comes crashing in, one of the long wings of the Spurs who can dunk easily, and then he just absolutely hammers it over the top of somebody, a la more like an Aaron Gordon. Like, get in there, get some paint or post passes. Don't just relinquish that paint position for all the advantage it has. And now I want you to think of how infrequently the Spurs get that done, given how good they are at getting into the paint. They don't do it very much. They don't finish in a close-to-the-paint fashion if you can stop that guy. And I want you to think about how that's really a strategy that's missing from their part. Like, they've got athletic wings who can really jump. They've got other guards who can jump and finish that. They've got Wimby. And you'll see this guy stranded in the middle of the paint where he doesn't feel like jumping anymore because three guys are around him, or at least two guys, and they just relinquish that position. What I mean by that is that advancement toward the hoop. Almost always. Now, always when you get him there, you should be ready to, you know, knock it back out to the three-point line. You want somebody there. That's the modern game. But what's the complement to that modern game? Somebody crashes. Somebody crashes to the paint, get a little dump-off pass, even get an oop. Like, you just don't see this paint-to-paint or post-to-post type of a dump-off pass or an assist or a lob. And as much as they get into the paint, the Spurs, I swear, by not doing that and instead just kicking it all the way out to the perimeter, losing all of the advancement toward the paint that they had, when they've got athletic guys that can finish around the paint, even if one gets stopped, if you can get to another guy who's crashing in, real good chance they can finish. It rarely happens. over and over again. You see these guys making this deep penetration, but when they are stopped individually, they are on an island, isolated, alone, and they kick it all the way back out. And it's just like such a wasted foray into the paint. And so this happens all the time. And in this series, Spurs are a little bit cold from the three-point line. They're not doing that great from the three. They're only at 30.6%. So it's not helping. Okay, so that's one big thing I see in this series and the Spurs in general, where they have to get better, because you would take this lineup, wouldn't you? I mean, outside of like an Aaron Gordon type of a forward who's that 235 type four, like an OG Anunoby type, you would take this length and this lankiness basically up and down the lineup over most rosters, including a lot of the bench. You would take it. I mean, I know that sixth man of the year, Keldon, hasn't done a whole hell of a lot in the playoffs, but as far as that bench, we're using them, and they're pretty effective. So generally, you would take this roster, but just name one that gets into the paint so easily, and then if you stop them on the ball, they got nothing for you. And the other thing I'll mention, I'm going to keep this kind of short. I think, obviously, the Spurs, had they pulled that out, believability goes up. Belief goes up, rather. Literal odds go up. Pardon me, just like my episode yesterday. Come in the house and talking too much. This allergic thing is starting to scratch my throat. So, yeah, believability goes up. And you got a totally different series. Now, I don't see it going past five. And that's what the odds makers would say, I'm sure. And there's a real decent chance it's a sweep. Like, it's really possible that in New York they obliterate the Spurs in Game 3, and then we have a play one for pride Game 4, goes back to the San Antonio, and then they lose again. I still see the Spurs taking this as much as 6, but I think the odds of a sweep are, if they're not better than 6 games, man, it's close. They're about even Steven as far as probability, and I think 4 or 5 is much more likely than 6. It's just that if somehow we got one game in New York, me and the Spurs, and now you're 2-2, yeah, Game 5 does feel you'd be 3-1. Game 5 does feel like maybe something you can handle at home, since you punted away the first two games. Now, what's positive? First game, they weren't ready. They just kind of relinquished that lead and had nothing. Victor had a very bad game. I'll tell you, let's go on to Victor now. Victor looked chetted, okay? What I mean by that is just Wembanyama's effect on Victor. Victor, for this first half, was shook, bro. Shook. He doesn't feel like he wants to... When Cat defends him, he's just not into it, bro. Now, he got more aggressive in the second half, and that's good because he does grow when you don't expect it. But again, I've told you, he's just not that skilled of an offensive player. He gets a decent amount of volume. He takes on the importance of being the team leader. So he gets his shots and he gets his points. But he's more multi-skilled than he is skilled. He hasn't set on something that is his go-to. Think of all the things he can do. Which is his go-to? His three-point shot? No, he's not that great at three-point shots. If he gets hot, great. You know, LeBron can get hot at three. He's never been a great three-point shooter. Anybody can get hot at three instead of shooting 33 or 34%. Suddenly shoot 45% for a period of time and therefore have a game above 40%. That makes, and then you shoot more, and then all of a sudden you have these explosive efforts. So what is his go-to move for Wimby? The reliable move. He doesn't have one. See, the other miss on offense for the Spurs, and I've mentioned it, but it really stuck out tonight. After you see it, you can't unsee it. Wimby up at the top of the key does a little token pick, but it's never, ever enough and long enough. I should say never, ever. Very rarely is it long enough for the guard to really be picked. Almost as soon as he even starts to touch him, he immediately releases to this pick, this roll, rather, where the throw now to him is going to be too shallow anyway. The angle is not there. Typically, he's doing this pick just to the left of center. The guard is coming across, so he's going to be straight away 3-point line, straight back center line. And as soon as he does it, he's rolling, and there's just no angle yet for that throw, even if they wanted to do it. And some of the reasons there's no angle is because he doesn't hang on to that pick long enough. And you can compare it to other picks. Cornette is a better picker than Wimby. I don't know that he rolls much, but he knows how to wait and set the pick. Wimby doesn't. And like I said, when they're coming from left of center up at the top of the key to where after Wimby facsimile of picks somebody, they're about straight away, dead center. Wimby's rolling, but he's not even expecting to get it. You see him just kind of do it as a motion. If they could develop that to make it a real pick, make Wimby stay long enough. He's long enough, he can leave a quarter second later after a real pick, that he can have a really nice roll. Whether that's just roll and a pop for a pop-up shot type of a 8-9-footer, or whether it's for whatever reason he gets advantage on somebody else and gets the rest of the way to the rim. He could do that. It's such a miss in this offense. The other miss in the offense is that you just look, they cannot feed Wimby. I've said that before. They don't have a post feed. Other people are saying this more so now. Wimby doesn't have a post game. Here and there, he can make post plays, but he does not have anything close to a consistent post game, which is wildly improbable for someone 7'5". And this is where I say he likes the big skill set more than he likes being 7'5". And I think part of it is he doesn't realize you're a lot heavier than you used to be, Wimby. Okay, so you don't have to go Jack Skellington, Kevin Durant out there. You've got some bulk now. You're bigger than most of the dudes, both in weight and height. I mean, rather height and weight that are on you or on the court. So identify with that more heft you have. Now that you're weighing 235, 240. Far cry from your earlier 205 or something when you started in the league. Granted, no superpower player, but you've got all the length in the world off on those guys. So I want him to lean into his actual size now. But more importantly, this pick and roll, this is a perfect example. Like, this is the microcosm of the problem. The last play, they get him the ball. But in this case, it's a pick. Let's see how this worked. He ended up right. And so I think it was the guard was going from right of center out on the perimeter, getting a pick from Wimby as he goes towards straightaway center along the perimeter. And then Wimby kind of drifts towards the perimeter. And nobody went with him for a roll. Nobody. And this angle was a little bit better by the time he moved it back to Wimby. He could have gotten a roll for basically a slam dunk because nobody stayed with him right away. Like, Mitchell wasn't on him right away when he did the pick and when he drifted out. So had he instead rolled right away, or even kind of a delayed roll, he would have been at the rim. And it's just a perfect example. It's just a work in progress. And hey, I'm a Spurs fan, and you know, you hate to be too critical. This is incredible. It's incredible. So you have to still go, hey, I can be critical while enjoying this advancement. When and if they've gone two or three times with them and they can't get it done, then that'll be different. But this is the first time. This is all bonus. But on the other hand, I can put into the ether how I think they can play and be better. And honestly, if our guys knew how to just do post-to-post and paint-to-paint as often as they get into the paint, into the teeth of the defense, we'd be scoring 7 or 10 more a game easily. You add to that, if Wimby had an easy offensive move, any just easy, always low effort, high efficiency as far as energy, offensive move, that's another easy 3 to 7 points when he needs them. Like, he could do the timely stuff where he's like, I just know I can go get this. Like, Timmy could go get the bank shot, and I just know I can get it. David actually had a really nice, smooth mid-range jumper, you know? LaMarcus had nice post moves as well. If he just had that, it wouldn't be a matter of how much more he scores, though there would be that. The efficiency overall would be higher. It's just that he would have a go-to that is a lot higher percentage. He doesn't have to do it all the time, but when you're doing the go-to, if you need to get two defenders away, fine. But the go-to is that Durant rise up, that Tim Duncan off the bank, so that it has the different angles and the different flight arcs that are harder to block. Wimby's got to find his Tony Parker teardrop, if you will, right? Just Jalen Brunson, close mid-range, fadeaway, high archer. He's got to find that, and he just doesn't really have it. But again, you're not going to complain. Spurs' first foray. You'd like to see it. With all those different things, I believe they could be up on the Knicks easily 2-0 if they just did some of those simple changes. So I'll throw it out of the ether. You know, dive to the basket, crash to the paint when a guy is stuck down there, and then do the mid-range or do the hammer throw over the top of the nearest defenders sitting there waiting for him, paint pass. If that happens, we could win 4 in a row. I'm just saying as a possibility. I'm not saying I believe it will happen. But if those things were to change overnight, not Wimby's. Wimby is a work in progress, and he doesn't have those moves yet. If they could work, though, a lob, like get into the paint or close to it, free throw line, and a lob, they have that game, but they've never really, really perfected it. If they did it more, where in the regular season, they would get, you know, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 of those. Those are an easy 6 or 8 points, and they're kind of devastating to the enemy. They're just a real, I don't want to say backbreaker, but at home, certainly, the crowd gets into it, the teammates get into it, and so on. If they would find those, they could win. They could have won all these games. The New York Knicks are very good, and I'm very proud of my Spurs as young as they are. You can say all you want, but they had not been pressed like this at all. Not in the last two series, not since game 3 of the first round. So I'm happy with them, but it could have been a lot better. But, you know, go Spurs, go. We'll see what happens on Monday night. Probably, I really see it being likely, it's 0-3. And then it's all over but the shouting. But the Spurs do have that extra day to prepare and try to understand. I really thought I'd see a lot better adjustments in Game 2. I thought I would see them trying to pick on Jalen Brunson. And it just seemed like what this team does is they pass a lot, but not without a lot of screens or weaves or anything like that. They, when they get going, they do try to pass a lot, but no weaves, no screens. And not seemingly with, hey, De'Aaron's hot, let's get it to him. I know that hasn't really happened this series, but you know what I mean. Champagne's hot, let's get it to him. Boy, when he drives, Harper's really hot. It doesn't seem like they purposely get it to anybody and really help each other out by making it easy for some people to get to their spots. It's passed around the perimeter, and then someone tries and goes and penetrate. And when they do, rarely is there just help right at the basket. You know, we'll see what happens game 3. Again, I'm a Spurs fan. Love what they've done. Love that they've been given the Knicks trouble, but it just seems like the experience versus phenom has really just gone to experience versus inexperience. That said, go Spurs, go. We'll see what we can do, and you know what? The future looks bright anyway. While it is fun to talk about sports, hey, you hear me? I make sense. Go listen to some of the important episodes, too. A lot of important stuff over here on the Scales of Truth, even if it's just little breadcrumbs of truth. Yep. Thanks again.